Of course, it's Women in League round in the NRL this weekend, and we're joined now by one of the great pioneers, as we were mentioning, of Women's Rugby League in Australia. As Loz mentioned, the chair of the ARL Indigenous Council, former Gillaroo and Raiders board member, Katrina Fenning, joining us. Katrina, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Great to have you on the program. And I want to ask you, there been a moment recently in the progress of the women's game that you've been able to sort of stop and go, goodness, we've come a long way?
Oh, look, I think each year there seems to be a moment or two like that. The growth just been fantastic. But for me, it's been, you know, the number of girls. I think this week New South Wales Rugby League put out 23,000 registrations or pretty close to. So whilst a lot of people say stay focused on that elite level and it's a great product, to see so many girls now being able to play at any age and not having to stop for you know, a decade in between in their younger years is probably, for me, the most important step.
And I guess being on the board there at the Raiders, it must have meant so much to you for the Raiders to be granted an NRLW licence as well.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we had the Women's State of Origin, the announcement all within about a 10-day period. So there's a real buzz around Canberra and particularly around the Raiders about what that's going to mean. We're already getting stuck into the work of what it takes to put all of the organisation behind it to have a successful season next year. But certainly Canberra's really ready to have our own NRLW side.
Morning, Katrina. Great to speak to you. Can I ask why and how did you get involved in rugby league?
So, you know, like you growing up in Junee, rugby league's the thing that just brings the whole community together. And, you know, having so many boy cousins and brothers, that was sort of all we played in the backyard, and I just didn't want to miss out. So I got started at a young age playing at Junee, and then by the under-12s had to stop. And then I lost touch with really the game for quite a while. And when I came back to Canberra in my early 20s and there was a women's comp, someone was a bit more of a challenge. So I thought I'd give it a go again and I just loved playing it. It was something for a girl like me who's a bit on the bigger side and things. There was a really important role that, you know, only a sport like rugby league could make you feel like you really had something to add to the team.
And just for our listeners, Katrina and your good self are cousins, aren't you? Yes.
Yes.
So come on now, Katrina, did you smash him? I hope so.
Well, I think he was probably a little bit quick for me, but yeah, we had some great battles. We've got lots of cousins, so we could have sort of mega games that go till, you know, till well after the street lights came on. That was always sort of the rules at home, that once street lights came on, it was time to go back to your own houses. But we had some pretty epic games up at Robert Street.
I've told these boys off air, sis, about, you know, just the amount of kids in the street and how, you know, whether it was cricket in the summer or footy in the winter, but it just played and kids were from all over the joint, and Robert Street used to be rocking, and you'd be playing out on the road, you'd be playing in backyards, the parents would be yelling to get you home for dinner, and great times.
Brown plastic footballs, but the best days were grand final day, and I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, it didn't matter what team won, we all did a lap of honour around the street. It was hilarious.
We did too.
Katrina.
Lap of honour.
Yeah, lap of honour. Yeah.
Streamers.
What?
We had. Streamers, yeah, we used to make a big deal of it.
Oh, that's unreal. Yeah.
Katrina, great to talk to you. Who are the people that have influenced you? What sort of mentors have you had? Because coming from Junee as a young lady, I'd like to know the people that have got behind you.
Look, I was really lucky in Junee. You know, we got a couple of family members, people like John Metcalf and that, who were just great at sport, but just really sort of calm and level-headed sort of people. So they were great. I had a couple of teachers who just, you know, went above and beyond to do some stuff for me as I was going through high school, just to sort of, you know, make you really believe that you could, you know, you could dream big and follow that and things would work out. So sort of at a young age, it was those sort of people. And then coming to Canberra, Canberra's been a really great place for supporting women's sports. So, you know, whether it's some great women's soccer players here, the Cary Graffs of the world. So I've just been lucky to be in places where there's already, whilst it mightn't have been in rugby league, some really strong role models who were already sort of showing what was possible in the sports field. So really just learning from them and just taking opportunities when they came up.
When you love something and you're really excited about it and you're trying to build it, how hard is it not to rush? I reckon they're doing it the right way.
Oh, 100%, Blocky. You've hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, we could have over-invested in that elite end and really watered down the quality of things, and to be patient and to build the participation levels and to do it at a pace that just keeps that quality up is really important. And you're 100% right. It's hard to not rush because you get excited about it, but the dividends that we're seeing, the recent State of Origin game, the first season we've already had of NRLW is sort of the proof that we're doing it the right way.
We're speaking with Katrina Fanning, who's the chair of the ARL Indigenous Council and former Jillaroo. And Katrina, it's been some week in the NRL, and to what extent, I guess, were you disappointed with the situation at Manly?
Look, I think it's easy to talk about the part that's disappointing about that, but for me what's most important is that 17 players ran out proudly last night in those pride jumpers. I think if you had a look around the crowd, the sort of support that showed up, whenever something new comes along, when we first had women in league round, when we first tried to do Indigenous round, probably not as extreme a reaction from players, but still was really tough to get the buy-in and things. And it's easy to sort of focus on what was difficult in the journey this week. But certainly for many people in the community where the pride colours are really important, was a really strong message that we're part of football and football's proud to have us as part of the family.
In the women's game, Katrina, is there a player or a team that you love watching today that really resonates with you?
Oh, look, I think if I was going to pick a player, and I'm a bit biased towards front rowers, but Caitlin Johnson at Newcastle, she's the co-captain with our All-Stars girls. Still a fairly young girl, but just her energy, the way she runs off the back fence, if Caitlin's playing in a game, I'm tuned in or there. She's just fantastic to watch.
Katrina, you're talking about the numbers of women. It's the biggest growing area in rugby league at the moment. And it's all those registered players. Encouraging young girls to play, what would you say to a young girl that might think about playing rugby league, what she can get, not get out of it, but why she would enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean the easy answer to that is to sort of look to the elite role models. But as you know, the beauty of the game is the mates that you create through it, the friendships. Getting out there and really testing yourself with people. And the friendships that come from it. I just encourage girls to give it a go and they'll be really surprised at what they're able to achieve out there and the confidence that'll give them in all parts of their life to just take on new challenges and to, get themselves into a bit of a tough spot, but to be able to trust they can get out of it, because rugby league really teaches you that.
And even if they're not playing, Kat, they can still be involved, and we rely a lot on women in rugby league, because without them, in particular out there in the bush, I think we need to encourage, and they get behind their sport, their town, their team, and they do a lot of the work, with blokes, a lot of the stuff we wouldn't do.
Yeah,
that's right. The registration and membership drives, the setting up canteens, the paperwork that goes behind it, even organising lifts for kids to get to different games and things, really, and particularly bush football, that's something we're both really passionate about, doesn't exist without the involvement of women in the game. We're seeing far more officials and coaches and those sort of things as well. So, even if playing's not the thing that's, most interesting to you, there's a way to be involved in the game, whatever your talents and interests are.
We know that the women's game is getting stronger and stronger every year. Do you ever envisage the time where we'll have a head coach of an NRL team being female?
Oh, look, I think it's possible. We're seeing some people go through in American sports, in the basketball and the NFL now. I think it's like most things. It's building up a pathway for those people who are interested to build their skills up and their experiences. And certainly we're seeing, even from the male side of coaching, the attitude towards coaching in the women's game has dramatically changed, and it's a genuine part of the pathway in your coaching development, and that will translate over to female coaches into the NRL systems as well. And I think the more NRL teams that have an NRLW side, then we'll start to see overlap between those coaching teams and those think tanks, and that will help to open that pathway up.
We've got to ask you about your career. 26 tests for Australia. That's amazing. That's amazing. But I always like to ask people, can they remember when they got their first test jumper? Can you remember?
Oh, yep, absolutely. I think I slept in that test jumper for the first 6 months, mate. We played our first test at Lidcombe Oval. We'd been out to Narrabeen where Keithy Holman was gave us a bit of a lesson in judo falls and those sort of things. Tommy Radonikis came and gave me a mouthful about if the hooker from New Zealand could walk after the game, then I hadn't done my job. I hadn't gone through. And you know what was most, for me, impressive about that was I've got no doubt that's exactly what he would have said to anyone wearing that Australian jumper.
Oh, he really meant it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I think they even made us pack against the brick wall at one stage. That was a bit weird, but yeah, we played at Lidcombe Oval. We'd never sighted the Kiwis before we came out, and I'm fair dinkum, I'm sure the winger was the same size as the front row. And so, after that, you sort of knew a little bit more what to expect. But because there'd never been a women's international before, it was exciting, it was scary, and it was just something of real privilege to be a part of.
Oh, it's been great to speak to you, Katrina, and your contribution to the women's game and the Indigenous communities as well should be absolutely applauded. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Enjoy the weekend and we'll chat again soon.
No worries, guys. Have a good day.